Welcome back, everybody, to the Deep Dive. Today, we are going to be tackling something I think we've all dealt with, and it can be a little tricky sometimes, dealing with those angry customers. And we're actually going to get into some really practical strategies for how to do this effectively today. And we're pulling from a great article, 7 Ways on How to Deal with Angry Customers by Chris Bradley of DoubleDome.
Yeah, DoubleDome's actually a digital marketing company that has been profitable for over 20 years, so they clearly know a thing or two about keeping clients happy, right?
Right.
Makes you think that they've got some good systems in place. Chris Bradley himself really focuses on the areas of sales and marketing, which, you know, when you think about it, it's really all about how you interact with customers. So his insights are extra valuable here, I think.
Absolutely. And the big thing we want to do today is kind of move beyond like the basic advice and really get into the concrete steps that you can take.
Right.
Like, how do we actually de-escalate these tense situations? How do we actually address those concerns effectively? And even potentially, you know, if we do this right, build a stronger relationship as a result, that would be a huge win, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So let's dive right in. The first area Bradley highlights is the critical role of listening. And, you know, I think this may seem obvious at first, but there's a lot more to it than you might think.
Yeah, totally. You know, more often than not, when a customer is expressing anger, it's really just a surface level reaction. And there's usually a deeper frustration there. Like, think about it. There's this gap between what they expected and what they actually experienced. And that gap, that's where the frustration brews, you know?
Yeah, that makes total sense. So the first step then is to really listen attentively, and this is key, without jumping in to defend yourself or explain things right away. Bradley actually emphasizes letting the customer fully express their issue or complaint before you say anything, right?
Exactly. And this does a couple of really crucial things. First off, it actually gives you the information you need to understand what's really causing them to be unhappy. Like, what specifically are they upset about? What exactly went wrong from their perspective? And then second, it shows the customer that you value their input and that you're actually paying attention to their experience. That's huge.
Totally. And the article even mentions some specific ways to really demonstrate that you're listening. Things like, you know, maintaining eye contact, using brief affirmative responses like a nod or a simple, I understand. These little things can make a big difference in helping the customer feel heard. You know.
Yeah, it's all about creating that space where they feel acknowledged, where they feel seen. And this actually ties directly into the next step, which is acknowledging the problem.
Yeah. And Bradley makes a good point here that we should avoid that natural urge to downplay their feelings or immediately jump to making excuses. Because I can see how that would be easy to do.
Yeah.
But you're right, it probably would just make the situation worse.
It definitely can. You know, instead of doing that, what we really need to do is actually validate their frustration and show them that we genuinely want to help find a solution. We're on their side, you know?
Exactly. So it's more about acknowledging the feelings rather than necessarily agreeing with all the details right away.
Right, right. When you acknowledge their feelings, you're shifting the whole dynamic. Instead of you being seen as like the cause of the problem, you become someone who understands their perspective and wants to help make things right. You become an ally.
I love that. It makes you a partner in finding the solution. And then this kind of naturally leads into the next point, which is the power of a sincere apology. And this is really interesting what Bradley says here. Even if you don't personally believe that the anger is, you know, completely justified or warranted, a genuine apology can still be incredibly effective at diffusing tension. What do you think about that?
That's really true. And it's interesting how an apology can really impact the customer's emotional state. It can kind of disarm them and make them feel validated. You know, it signals that you're willing to take responsibility, even if the fault isn't entirely yours, which can go a long way.
Yeah, I can see that. It shows that you care about how they feel, even if you don't agree with everything they're saying. And he actually gives an example, a good example in the article of an effective apology. He says something like, I'm sorry for the inconvenience. You know, it's straightforward. It acknowledges their experience without necessarily admitting any specific wrongdoing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he also cautions against overdoing it, which is a really good point. You don't want to sound insincere or like you're being overly dramatic.
Yeah, for sure. A concise and genuine apology will often carry more weight than a long-winded one.
Oh.
So, okay, we've listened, we've acknowledged their feelings, we've offered a sincere apology, and now we're at the point where we need to start moving towards offering a solution to the problem itself. Right. This is where the rubber meets the road.
This is where it gets real. And this is where things can really shift in a positive direction, because Bradley encourages us to not just resolve the issue, but if we can, to go a little bit above and beyond what they were expecting. He gives a specific example that I think really illustrates this point. He says, imagine a product delivery is late and the customer is understandably upset. You could, in this case, consider offering to expedite the replacement shipping for free. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's such a good example because it directly addresses their frustration, right? The delayed product. But then it adds this like unexpected positive element by offering the faster shipping at no extra cost.
Yeah.
It's like you're going above and beyond to make things right.
And when you think about the bigger picture, it demonstrates a real commitment to customer satisfaction, which can leave a lasting positive impression. It shows that you actually care.
Right. So it's not just about fixing what went wrong in that moment. It's about creating an experience that the customer will remember and hopefully turning a negative interaction into something that actually builds loyalty. Now, resolving the immediate issue isn't necessarily the final step, though, is it? Bradley also emphasizes the importance of following up with the customer after the fact.
I think that's absolutely crucial. Following up really shows that your concern for their satisfaction goes beyond just fixing the initial problem. It reinforces trust and it strengthens the relationship. It shows that you're not just trying to get them off the phone, so to speak.
Yeah, and the article suggests that a simple phone call or email can be really effective. But it stresses the importance of doing it in a timely manner. You don't want to wait too long after the issue has been resolved. It should feel like a natural continuation of your efforts to help, you know what I mean?
Exactly. It's a chance to confirm that the solution actually worked for them and that they are now satisfied. And it just keeps that line of communication open in case they have any further needs or questions. Now, what about when a customer interaction just starts to become particularly heated or unproductive, you know? Bradley addresses this by suggesting that we consider taking the conversation offline.
Yeah, this is such a good point. It's about recognizing when a public platform like social media or even a really tense phone conversation might not be the best environment to reach a resolution. And taking it offline means basically moving the discussion to a more private channel, maybe like a direct message, a private phone line, or even, you know, a face-to-face meeting if that's possible and appropriate. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think moving it to a private setting can really help de-escalate the situation in a lot of cases. You know, the customer might feel more comfortable expressing their concerns candidly when they don't feel like they're on public display. And it allows you to have a more focused and controlled interaction. It's just calmer overall.
Right. It just makes a lot of sense. You can prevent this situation from escalating further publicly and really concentrate on finding a solution without that added pressure of an audience, right?
For sure. And you can often speak more freely and honestly in a private setting too, which can help build that trust and rapport.
Now, throughout all of these steps, there's this one fundamental element that Bradley keeps coming back to, and that's the importance of maintaining your own composure. Have you found that to be true in your experience?
Absolutely. You know, it can be so challenging sometimes to stay calm when someone is just directing all of their anger or criticism towards you or your company, right? But like the article rightly points out, losing your temper will almost always make the situation worse.
It's like throwing gasoline on a fire, right?
Yeah.
And Bradley actually suggests a really simple but effective technique. He says, if you feel your emotions starting to rise, just take a deep breath. It's so simple, but that pause, it can give you a moment to regain control and respond in a more thoughtful and effective way rather than just reacting emotionally.
Yeah, that little moment can be so valuable. It allows you to step back from the intensity of the situation just for a second and engage your problem-solving skills more rationally instead of just getting caught up in the emotion of it all. And this actually leads us to a really important question, which is what's the ultimate goal of all of these steps? And that brings us to the key takeaway that Bradley emphasizes, which is turning detractors into promoters.
Now, this is the ideal outcome, isn't it? To be able to take someone who was initially angry or upset and turn them into a loyal supporter of your business, that's the dream. And the article actually argues that customers who were initially angry, if their issues are handled well, they can become some of your most vocal advocates.
It's true. Think about it this way. If someone has a negative experience, but you actually listen to their concerns and you go the extra mile to solve their problem and then you follow up to make sure they're happy, well, they've just witnessed firsthand your commitment to making things right. And that can be incredibly powerful.
Right. It's not just about words, it's about actions. So just to summarize Bradley's key points here, we need to maintain a professional demeanor throughout the entire interaction, offer a sincere and direct apology, and then work efficiently to find a resolution to their issue.
Exactly. And it's also important, as he points out, to thank the customer for bringing the issue to your attention and to assure them that you're taking immediate steps to address it. It's about being proactive and showing them that you care.
It's about respect, right? And that proactive approach, combined with genuine empathy and a dedication to resolving their issue, that's what has the potential to transform an unhappy customer into a loyal advocate for your business. It shows that you value their business and that you're willing to go above and beyond to earn their trust.
It's about building a real relationship, not just completing a transaction.
Absolutely. So for everyone listening, let's quickly recap those seven key steps that we got from Chris Bradley at Double Dome. Listen attentively. Acknowledge the problem that the customer is experiencing. Offer a sincere apology. Aim to provide a solution that ideally exceeds their expectations. Follow up to make sure they are completely satisfied. Consider taking the conversation offline if things start to escalate. And whatever you do, maintain your composure throughout the interaction.
By following these steps, you're not just managing those difficult situations, you're actively building stronger customer relationships, and you're turning potential negatives into opportunities for growth.
So as we wrap up today's deep dive, I want to leave you with a thought. Think about a time when you were a frustrated customer. How might applying these seven steps have changed the outcome of that interaction, not just for you, but for the business involved? And what does it really mean for long-term success when a company can effectively handle negative feedback and turn those experiences around? It's not just about damage control, it's about building a stronger foundation for the future.
It's about turning challenges into opportunities, and it's about showing your customers that you truly care.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive. We'll see you next time.
See you then.